said Saturday night, that means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
You know, I wonder after a 2-week hiatus on Saturday mornings, how many people forgot that we do a Saturday morning show, not Saturday night. In fact, I tell you, I was thinking about rescheduling it for tonight because, as you could hear, I am still dealing with this COVID shit. It really sucks. I would say it's more annoying than anything else, but it's just a real deep cold. That's pretty much what I've experienced. I have not tested myself yet today, but my wife just showed me her result, and she's still positive. Her first positive result was on Tuesday. Mine was on Wednesday. So I get the privilege of blaming her of giving it to me. So, yeah, I think we're at the tail end of it. You know, I'm here with my Theraflu, and, yeah, this show will be a little bit shorter than usual. But you know what? That might be a good thing because we focus right at the big topics at hand. And I think the big buzz right now is these QR codes, White Rabbits, Bray Wyatt. And if you did not see Rampage yesterday, Bray Wyatt made his debut teaming up with Hook to defeat. Nah, I'm not trying to throw shade on Action Bronson, but I did get a kick out of a lot of people yesterday saying that, you know, he kind of looks a little bit like old Bray Wyatt. I'm like, maybe. So, look, in the spirit of what we've done in the past with Wish, with Cesaro and Giovanni Vinci, and I don't remember the other one we did. I know we did another one, but yeah, I tell you, Action Bronson actually impressed me. I'm not going to lie to you. I did not watch it live. I passed out last night on Theraflu and NyQuil, but I did get up early this morning and skim through both Rampage and some of SmackDown. I thought he did a good job. No complaints at all. You know, dropped a lot of weight, and I was surprised at how good his cardio was, despite, you know, not having to do all that much. But he was fine. No issues at all. You know, look, obviously not on the level of a Bad Bunny or Logan Paul, but that's not what it was intended for. We have had celebrities in matches for decades. You would have local DJs get involved in segments at house shows that we would never see televised. But, you know, having a little bit of interaction, get a little bit of outside publicity, nothing wrong with it. As long, and this is the most important aspect of it all, as long as the person takes it seriously. That was my biggest gripe with the Raw guest host back in the day. Any of you that lived through the Raw guest host era, some definitely took it seriously. Some were there simply to put over whatever they were promoting, and they could care less about wrestling. In fact, they would take it personal. One of the things that angered me is, you know, when you're doing a promo exchange with a pro wrestler, especially if the wrestler is a heel, you know, you have to be able to take it a little bit. I remember some promo exchanges with Jericho and a few others where you could tell that the celebrity wouldn't just shut the fuck up, that they had to get the last word in. You know, instead of just cutting a promo and then having the wrestler say what he says and you just stand there, maybe you're a little intimidated. Maybe you're supposed to act a little bit nervous. Someone comes in. No, they got to add the extra dig. And that's why when you saw like that, who was that guy that bounced his head? You know, what was the guy's name that bounced his head? Is he Asian? I can't remember his name. When he bounced his head, what was that? And Umaga with Jackass. At that time, I didn't think Jackass gave a flying fuck. Ken Jeong. With Jackass and Ken Jeong, my favorite moments of the celebrity guest host era. And Al Sharpton. Not look, I don't care about politics anymore, but that was just surreal. That was just surreal. That was just a weird moment. But anyway, so we're going to take a deep dive into the white rabbits, the QR codes. Now, this is not going to be professionally polished. I don't get paid that kind of pay grade to do that. But what we will go through right now is a brief synopsis of what's been happening and where we are at now. And we now, with happiness, can say it is 100% Bray Wyatt. It is not Sasha Banks and Naomi, even though we were trying to throw conspiracy theories out there. If you remember Monday, I said, hey, I hope it's Charlotte. Not because it would be her, just to piss people off. It's Bray Wyatt. Absolutely Bray Wyatt. And I'm going to share with you a couple of things. If any of you used to tune into my This Week in Wrestling History episodes, I think it was the July series, we talked about Bray Wyatt's debut in NXT, beating Aiden English. We talked about Bray Wyatt in Florida Championship Wrestling. How many times have I aired in the past that promo where he sounded like Forrest Gump? Shrimp boat. My daddy had a shrimp boat. You know, we celebrated that promo many times. Very, very rare. At that time, you couldn't find it online. But now it is the focus, because the puzzle is starting to complete. Now, remember what I said Monday? Remember what I said Wednesday? I don't have any problem with this leading to Bray Wyatt, but there is one thing that is absolutely clear. This production value is going to increase significantly in the near future. Some people think, oh, this is happening in Extreme Rules. I wouldn't be surprised if it happened in Saudi Arabia in November. I wouldn't be surprised if this gets milked, you know, into late October. You know, we don't know where he's going to debut. But one thing is for certain now, it is Bray Wyatt. Now, let's do an over. Oh, by the way, happy 924 day, everyone. Happy 924 day. I know some of you will get the picture. I hope everybody's doing well. And I hope Joey is doing well. I really mean that. And I mean this with the utmost sincerity. If anybody ever reaches out to Joey and Joey wants to come on just to chew the fat for a night, I would do a forbidden door with Joey. I would love to get him and Black Moses back on and just do a little retro, even if we only did it for 15 minutes. You know, let's do hotline versions, 15, 20 minutes, and that's it. Get out of here. But happy 924, everyone. Good morning for everybody who is here in the Northeast and the Northwest and Central, I guess you could say. Anybody in the United States and Canada, good afternoon for my international friends. And for some of you who are in the boondocks, tens of thousands of miles away, happy evening or whatever the fuck you your time zone is right now. So, Bob Barker, that was one of my highlights as the guest host. We had some good guest hosts. I'm not shitting on the whole thing. I only shit on the ones who, you know, did not respect pro wrestling, did not care about pro wrestling, and, you know, just basically were there for it. That's why I think what I said Wednesday, it's not against rap. Somebody said to me, oh, you just don't like today's rap. Yeah, I don't like today's rap. But that doesn't mean that I have any problem with rap artists showing up on WWE or AEW television. It's just some people give the aura that they're simply there because somebody contacted their agent and offered them enough money to make an appearance. You know, that's how I feel. You know, I don't mind people making an appearances, and it's not their fault. Let me make that clear. Trina, that was not her fault. You know, that was AEW paying a boatload of money to get her to make an appearance. Why would you turn that down? Why would you not take that offer? So I'm not faulting the people unless they show up and they just don't give a fuck. You know, you get paid and I tell you, dance, motherfucker, dance. People dance like that. The COVID dance. If I pay you to do something, you do it. If I pay you just to smile, stand in the corner and smile, you do it. You know, and some people just don't give a shit. So, yeah, I sound better. Not as nasal. You know, it's just annoying. You know what the worst part of this COVID has been so far for me? And I'm telling you, and then now we'll get into the QR white rabbits. We're going to hunt white rabbits in a few moments, and I got a video clip for you, too. The worst part of COVID for me, and I have a feeling a lot of you are going to say, DT, that is exactly for me as well. It's not the coughing, even though it's a little annoying. It's not necessarily the blowing in the nose or the sneezing, a little bit of headache. The worst part of it for me is when I sleep, I'm a side sleeper, and I sleep on this side, and this part of my nose gets fully congested. So I turn to the other side of the bed, and within 5 minutes, this is clear, and now this is all congested, and then and that's all I do all night long. Like, I can't just sleep on my back like this. I can't stand that when one side is congested, you turn over and it clears, and then the other, oh, man, it's like a bad cartoon. So, you want to know something, Sev? Good question. I have lost a little bit of sense of taste, but it's not everything. Like, this Theraflu right now, lemon. Yeah, I could taste that. But last night, I felt like having chocolate. Could not taste the chocolate at all. The weird thing is, I think sugary stuff, I can't taste the sugar at all. I had a piece of pizza last night. Could not taste anything. This morning, I ate cocktail Franks for breakfast / lunch. I'm here by myself. I'm isolated. So I didn't feel like Grubhub. So some things I can taste, some things I can't. All right, let's talk about Bray Wyatt. White rabbits. Now, you all know, we don't need to get into every little detail, but you all know that at WWE events, during commercial breaks and intermissions, they dim the lights and they play Jefferson Airplane. Going back to what, 1967. They play the a cappella version. It just sounds creepier. Her voice is beautiful, but they've been playing that song. Now, you have to read the lyrics to understand why they're playing that song. So they've been doing that, and as they dim the lights, everybody lights on their phone, so it looks like the Fireflies. So this past Monday on Raw, and I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to sit here and play that I knew everything, but I also misinterpreted the 923. Many of us, in fact, probably all of us thought that the 923 was a teaser that on Friday, 923, which was yesterday, at 923 p.m., something would happen. That's what we all thought. And you look at social media last night when 923 came on and we got a State Farm commercial. I don't think John from State Farm was the surprise. We realized almost immediately, this is what went down. On Monday's Raw, we had the QR code. We had this little video, and it showed 9:23 p.m. This was from Monday. Now, it also showed 9:23, the date. Now, getting back to this 9:23, this was not intended for Friday's SmackDown. That was intended for Monday's Raw, because at 9:23 p.m., which we did talk about Monday night, which is why I'm kind of mad at myself that I should have said, yeah, that's why they did the 9:23 part of it, p.m., at exactly 9:23 p.m., a fan was given this QR code from WWE and walked center camera across and walked slowly so everybody could zap the QR code. So that is what happened. So the first 9:23 p.m. was for that. Now, if you remember the video from Monday, it ended with "come with me." Keep that phrase on the brain for a few moments. Keep that on the brain. Come with me. It does play into the video I show you in a few moments. So now we have the hype for Friday, September 23rd. No specific time, but Friday, September 23rd. Easy so far? I'm explaining it? Okay. Yesterday on SmackDown, we had a hit row, like, party, I guess you could call it. And that party was kind of funny. You know, I don't know why everybody was focusing on Drew Gulak and Natty. Why? Because they're white? I mean, it was just funny to see, like, this mixed crowd, like, just hanging out, having drinks and everything like that. Sure, that's the setup. Los Lotarios next week against Hit Row. When is Hit Row going to turn heel, by the way? I hope WWE realizes that their vibe is just not clicking as big-time baby faces, you know. And I'm not kidding when I say this. I know this is going to sound ridiculous to some of you out there. The only way Hit Row is going to get over with fans, like big-time baby faces, remember, throw your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care. That's the mentality they have to be. And you know they're not going that way. So they're turning heel sooner or later. They got a few with the Street Profits. So anyway, we had the Hit Row party. Now, see that QR code in the center of the screen? And what does it say at the top? Come with me. Same phrase again. Come with me. Click on that QR code. Now, we saw another QR code later on in the night, all the way towards the bottom behind in the when they were doing the party, right before Los Lotarios attacked Hit Row. That's the same QR code. Just want to let everybody know. So you click that QR code and it leads to a game. A maze game. Three fireballs with a door. All right. Now, those three fireballs may represent specific moments in Bray Wyatt's career. Remember, the Firefly Funhouse was burned. If you remember his feud with Randy Orton, wasn't the house burned? And then the Fiend, Randy Orton, the Fiend was burned. We had three moments in Bray Wyatt's career where we had fireballs. So now, if you actually played the game, now we're not going to play the audio because I don't know if the audio is copyrighted or not, but if you play the game, all right, we have to take the audio off of it, but there you go. The rabbit, the whole idea, get to the red door. Get to the door. Don't hit the fireballs. If you hit the fireballs, you got to start over. All right, so you hit the door. Okay, the rabbit hits the door. He enters. Okay, patricide with some coordinates. Huh, okay. So what does this patricide have to do with this segment? Okay. First of all, let's talk about the coordinates. If you Google those coordinates on Google, yeah, if you Google on Google, if you Google it on your computer, hold on, there we go, here's a map. That is the location of this Monday's Raw. So those coordinates off of Raw, so this is telling you that the next teaser will be on this Monday's Raw. What is the definition of patricide? Patricide is the killing of one's father, a person who kills their father. So I know some of you got some code early in the day that said Cole, C-O-A-L. They didn't understand what that was. Anybody who jumped the gun and tried to grab it and reported as news, they got coal in their stockings. So that's why it was originally coal and it was changed to patricide. That was just a little like, for all of you out there that are going to premature ejaculate on what's going down. So that's where that coal reference came in. So anyway, now we got patricide, the killing of one's father. Come with me. Anybody remember this? That is the Florida Championship Wrestling promo from back in the day with Jackson Andrews. A lot of people forget Jackson Andrews originally was supposed to be in that Wyatt family. Did not turn out, but we have played this vignette several times over the years, and I'm going to replay it for you right now. And as you tune into it, I want you to think about patricide, the killing of one's father, and think of Come With Me.
I fire Louisiana. My daddy, he's a captain of his own shrimp boat. I hated my daddy. He was a mean old man, my daddy. He took an 8-year-old Bray Wyatt and he pulled him out of school.
Patricide.
He didn't think I needed to learn with them other kids. But then randomly one day, my daddy, his boat, well, it caught on fire. And it sunk him down into the daggone sea with it. And I went away. I went away for a while. But Bray Wyatt, he told himself how to read. And I started out with C-Spot Run. And then it was Clifford the Big Red Dog. And then it was the good book mostly after that. And I learned. And I learned a lot of things. I learned how this world likes to throw away a little white trash peon like Bray Wyatt. And let me tell you something. I ain't no white trash. And I ain't no peon either. I was raised in Lafayette, Louisiana.
My daddy, you see the video.
He's a captain of his own shrimp boat. I hated my daddy. He was a mean old man, my daddy. He took an 8-year-old Bray Wyatt and he pulled him out of school. He didn't think I needed to learn with them other kids. But then randomly one day, my daddy, his boat, well, it caught on fire. And it sunk him down into the daggone sea with it. And I went away. I went away for a while. But Bray Wyatt, he told himself how to read. And I started.
All right, so you have the patricide explained. Now listen closely for Come With Me.
Started out with C-Spot Run. And then it was Clifford the Big Red Dog. And then it was the good book mostly after that. And I learned. And I learned a lot of things. I learned how this world likes to throw away a little white trash peon like Bray Wyatt. And let me tell you something. I ain't no white trash. And I ain't no peon either. I am better than you all. And I wouldn't want to be that guy. I wouldn't want to be that guy, that first guy that has to get in the ring with me, man. I wouldn't want to be you. Because I am going to take pleasure in watching you burn.
Here it comes.
Just like my daddy. Come with me.
Boom. So there you go. That is everything leading up to now. So, and if you want, you can go on WWE Shop and you could actually buy the White Rabbit shirt. You could buy the Hangman Who Killed the World. Yes. It's Bray Wyatt. It is 1,000% Bray Wyatt. Don't overthink it. You know, if you remember the Edge vignettes, don't overthink it. Do you remember how many people tried to convince you that the Edge vignettes were Bray Wyatt? I mean, when they were trying to explain why Eddie Guerrero's shirt was in there and why other, it made no sense. It was Edge. Don't overthink it. Now, we got to see where it goes from here. But one thing is for certain, is that these vignettes are going to intensify and production value is going to skyrocket. This is not going to be like the Zoe Stark fiasco that we got. This is now just a teaser. Getting things, you know, out there. Putting the shirt on sale, putting the merch on sale. They're going to take their sweet-ass time milking this. They want to make sure that this is instilled in everybody's brain. It's almost like, I don't want to say the Jericho countdown clock from 1999. That went on for quite some time. You know, but this is going to, did I say Eli Cottonwood? Not Jack, Jackson Andrews. Okay, Eli Cottonwood. Yeah, Jackson Andrews wasn't he that abuser? Eli Cottonwood. So, but I always thought that they weren't they the same person? I don't know. Anyway, Eli Cottonwood. Thank you, Cruiserweight, for correcting me on that. Eli Cottonwood. But, so it's Bray Wyatt. No ifs, ands, or buts. The next QR code. Now, look, it's going to be Easter eggs. Not everybody's going to know the history of Bray Wyatt. A lot of people don't even recall the Florida Championship Wrestling days when he was in the early stages of transforming into the character. All they know, for the most part, is when he debuted in NXT and beat Aiden English. And by that time, shit was on. But Albania is like, if it's not him, it looks bad on me. If it's not him, it looks bad on WWE. It's him. Listen, WWE is not going to dick their fans over. They want Bray Wyatt to return. They want Wyndham to return. If Vince McMahon was still behind the helm, I could picture him, Pritchard and Kevin Dunn and others, you know, John Laurinaitis getting shits and giggles by throwing fucking Charlotte out there, you know, just to be everybody like, oh, fuck. Triple H is not going to dick the fans over. People either overthought Edge and his return after getting the shit knocked out of him from Judgment Day, or they intentionally teased it with Bray Wyatt just to get hits and views. And if you don't think people do that, you know, you got a lot to learn. So Bray Wyatt is coming back. We don't know when. On Monday, I got a little bit of sausage for all of you about Saudi Arabia. It's going to be really interesting. I was going to talk about it today, but we'll save it for Monday. So there you go. That is the deep dive with the whole White Rabbit, come with me, everything to now. It is for Bray Wyatt. It is not for Karrion Kross. Let's make that clear. So with that said, we move on. Yesterday, Karrion Kross, and it was funny because Karrion Kross, when he attacked Drew McIntyre, that was around, I think, like 9:20 p.m. And I got a kick out of it. And I'm also getting a kick out of, happy anniversary, Rams fan, 14 months channel member. Much love. That Fireball segment on SmackDown, I'll tell you the truth. I didn't have a problem with it. And that's not to stick up for Karrion Kross or Scarlett. This was the visual on TV. I thought it was actually pretty cool. It looks like a kind of an X formation. The reason why I didn't have a problem with it is Drew McIntyre sold it perfectly. Now, for those that don't know, if maybe you didn't tune into SmackDown yesterday, Drew McIntyre challenged Karrion Kross to a match at Extreme Rules. It's going to be a strap match. It is a done deal. It is going down. Scarlett and Karrion Kross showed up yesterday, and Scarlett threw a fireball into the eyes of Drew McIntyre. And if you look at the visual from Scarlett, of course it didn't connect. Keep in mind, this is Fox. This is regular television. They're not going to do like what they did to Keith Lee, if you remember in NXT. this was going to be more of a watered-down version of it. Now, do I think she missed the shot a little bit? Yeah. But Drew McIntyre, he didn't sell it like he was blinded. He sold it like a distraction, like just to distract. And if you notice, even her reaction to Cross, like, get him, like, just distract him for a second. For those that didn't see it, here you go. Look closely because it's only a few seconds. See? See? Now look closely again. Watch closely. It just, I don't know if I could pause it really quick. Let me see if I can, I don't know if I could even go back. It's that quick. Let's try one more time. Yeah. It just distracts him, but look at his reaction right after. You know, he was just like, the hell did you just do? So I didn't have much of a problem with it. I did have a problem with a couple of spots on Rampage. Thank God Sting is okay, man. I don't have the video of the... I could have put it up there, but I found out that Sting is fine. For anyone out there that didn't see Rampage yesterday, we had a no DQ Sting's rules match between Sting and Darby Allin versus the House of Black. Once again, the House of Black lost. In a little bit, I'm going to read you a statement that Malakai Black put out there. And he pretty much confirms what we have been saying for a very long time. You know, AEW has the House of Leaks. You know, those EVPs, they feed. How many times you've heard me? I even did pigeon impersonations a couple of weeks ago. Remember? Blah, 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 blah. Sounds more like a turkey. You know, these EVPs feed crumbs to a lot of these wrestling news sites, and they'll never tell you. Why would they tell you? You know, they don't want to be outed. They don't want to feel like they're getting special treatment. This is what happens. And, you know, when we talk about the Malakai Black stuff, that's fucked up. That is fucked up. And you see what is in motion online right now to get CM Punk out of that company. It is a clash of culture. We'll talk about that in a few moments. But, you know, Sting was climbing the top rope. And he got pushed off, and he went through two tables outside the ring. Problem is, the tables either were a little bit too far back, or maybe Sting didn't have enough push-off. And his head hit the side of the second table, just barely hit it. But luckily, he did not get injured from it. So thank God. Julie Hart, though, this reminded me so much of Lizzie Borden. This, if you remember the story I told you from XPW, where for a few moments I was accused of accidentally moving a table and causing Lizzie Borden to get sent to the hospital. I shit bricks back then. But thank God they had video, and it was not the case. But, you know, the problem is, just because you could go through a table doesn't mean you should go through a table. And just because, you know, tables are part of the shows doesn't mean that it should happen for anybody for any reason. And I don't, this almost looks like, remember when Rey Fénix was in that, I don't know, it was a battle royal or whatever it was. Remember when he dove outside the ring and the distance between the ring and the guardrail was like this? And it was like, of course you're going to get injured from that. If you didn't see it yesterday, check this out. This was the Great Muta making an appearance on Rampage. And by the way, the Great Muta showing up on AEW. If you think Muta is going to team up with Sting in AEW, as of right now, that is not the case. Sting is going to Japan. He's going to Japan. He will be teaming up with Muta for Muta's last match. I think it's for Pro Wrestling Noah. But that match is not taking place until January 22nd. So Muta will probably make some appearances in the States. You don't bring Muta all the way to New York just to make a cameo and then go all the way back. So he's going to be appearing at some wrestling events here in the United States. I would expect him to have a match on Dynamite or Rampage, you know, in the near future. But look what happens here. Muda shows up, spits the green mist in Buddy Matthews' face. Now, Julie Hart, for some reason, is standing on the ring apron, and there's a table right behind her on the floor. The problem is the table, as you will see, is a little bit too close to the ring. And also the problem is if you push the table back more, it's a little bit too close to the barricade. So if you're going to do a table spot, you do it on a rampway. You don't do it on the side. So what happens? Well, you could see for yourself. Spit the mist. Okay. He spits the mist. I have to pause it, you know, for copyright issues. Now he walks back. And just look at Julie Hart. Just watch it closely. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. That's Kenny Olivier that posted that video. I hope she's okay, man. You don't ever want to see that. But this is why you don't just do things just to do it. Totally, totally fucked up. It's not about her butt going through the table. It's about her neck fucking hitting the concrete floor like that. You know, there's no give. There's no padding over there. So, but it was cool to see Muda. I mean, look, I go back to when Muda was in his prime, and I always was a fan of Great Muda. In fact, I think we just talk about Great Muda as far as the Mount Rushmore of foreign heels? I think we did that on Patreon Tuesday. So, but getting back to SmackDown, so Drew McIntyre and Karrion Kross will be fighting at Extreme Rules. So we have a strap match at Extreme Rules, and we have a fight pit match at Extreme Rules. Don't know if there's going to be any stipulation yet for Bianca Belair and Bayley, but we will see. Now, we did have Damage Control make an appearance again on this SmackDown. Dakota Kai gives a win back to Raquel Rodriguez, but once again, as we already discussed, Shotzi Blackheart running the babyface route now, trying to come to the aid of Raquel Rodriguez, who is teamed 3-on-1, and she basically helps, you know, make the save. Now, next week, I think we're getting Shotzi versus Bayley on SmackDown, but we're going to see probably Team Raquel versus Team Bayley, or maybe Team Bianca versus Team Bayley at Survivor Series. Will that end up being a War Games match? Could be. Could be. Sorry if I sound congested, everyone. If anybody tuning in late, you know, I'm still dealing with COVID. I have not tested myself yet today, but I've been positive Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. People say it's usually 5 days that you're positive. So hopefully by today or tomorrow, you know, I can get a test, show negative, start getting out of here. You know, so shows will be a little bit shorter. I am still doing a sit down tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Easy listening, easy talking. Unless I get some major relapse from this shit, I think we'll be fine. Also, a couple other things from SmackDown yesterday. This was freaking awesome. And anybody that was part of the watch party, we were doing play-by-play as it was happening. We knew everything that was going to go down. We had the Bloodline come out. I'm enjoying it. I like the new shirt. It's a little bit of their tattoo artwork, you know, with red colors. We're the ones... Sami Zayn's the only one not wearing that shirt. They hit the ring, and it's revealed that the elders, Afa, Sika, maybe Rikishi, they were the ones that sent Solo Sikoa to help Roman Reigns to allow the Usos continue building their legacy. And Roman Reigns has Solo Sikoa acknowledge him. And he does. And, you know, we basically, they're about to leave the ring. Bloodline's music hits. Sami Zayn interrupts the music. And Sami Zayn, now there were rumblings that we might have an NWO type angle on SmackDown. Now, I don't remember if it was the Nasty Boys. Was it the Nasty Boys? Who was it that put on the NWO colors? And Hogan said to him, like, why are you wearing our colors? And then they beat the fuck out of him. I think it was the Nasty Boys. Might have been Brian Knobbs specifically. But I do remember that with the NWO. And sure enough, Sami Zayn, you know, wanting to acknowledge Roman Reigns as well. And Roman Reigns, you know, he is confronting Sami Zayn. Why are you wearing our shirt? Why are you wearing our colors? Take the shirt off. Fucking Jey Uso. Jey Uso. I can't wait to see Jey Uso and Sami Zayn feud. Obviously, they're going to be tagging up sometime down the line just to have that friction go even further. But as Roman Reigns is demanding that Sami Zayn take the shirt off, crowd is cheering for Sammy. And fucking Jey Uso is like, I can't scream, throat hurts too much. He's like, take it off. If this was AEW, you probably would have heard a couple of expletives, even though I think they're starting to censor him out. Jey Uso, I mean, so believable. Angry. He's like, take that off. Take it off now. And then while we were doing the watch party, and I know some of you are live right now, I was like, Jey, rip it off. Rip it off and fucking don't rip that shit off. And he tore that motherfucker off. And Sami Zayn revealing the Baron Corbin midsection. You know, Sami, you know, he's a little soft, but we love Sami. You know, big far cry from 2 years ago. If you remember the COVID comments that kind of ticked me off. Little too political at that time, yours truly. I admit it. But Sammy, they ripped the shirt off. Sammy looks like a puppy who has just been kicked out of the house in a pouring rain. He looks dejected. Crowd is all sympathetic. But again, we also, I was saying, he's honorary use. Honorary use. Honorary. And they get, and Roman Reigns is like, don't wear that shirt. I got you a different one. And he pulls the shirt off, opens it up. He is an honorary Us SZ for Sami Zayn. Yes, that shirt will be on sale if it hasn't already. And the crowd fucking loved it. Sami Zayn, perfect in his role, puts the shirt on. And Jey Uso's like, the fuck? Man, you got to be fucking kidding me. That it was just an awesome segment. See, you don't have to be TV 14. You don't have, all you have to do is entertain the fans. Sure, we need wrestling as well. But when you really produce a segment well and you have a good storyline, that eats up 25% of your show. That segment went 20 minutes. So, you know, understand, you know, we're in 2022. Pro wrestling in 2022 is not the same of what pro wrestling was in 1982 or 2002. And, you know, when I see these people that are focusing like, oh, SmackDown only had 71 minutes of wrestling. You know, are you entertained? Yes or no? That's all that matters. When people talk about, oh, the demos, you know, but you see the overall viewership is down 40%. You know, but the demos, no, that means 40% of people. Look at the AEW rating this week. AEW last week did 1,175,000 viewers. 1,175. There were a lot of people this week that were predicting that AEW's rating was going to be higher than Raw because Raw was suffering now because of NFL games. And Monday we had a double shot with NFL. So as people got the Raw rating, and it's down 500,000 viewers in 2 weeks, they thought the hype of Danielson versus Moxley. AEW Grand Slam, Battle of the Belts. That's what it should have been. You look at how much that show was hyped. This week's rating went down 12%. 1,039,000. Is it a bad rating? No, it's not a bad rating. How many people out there were like, oh, wow. Sorry about that COVID cough. How does a rating go down 12%? Leading into the final for the championship, MJF is back. I saw some people write, well, he wasn't advertised. Are you fucking dense? We're in New York. Grand Slam. Home area of MJF. And because they don't tell you, MJF is going to be... What the fuck you... Oh, no. Well, Survivor was on. 12% of AEW fans felt something else was more important than watching AEW Grand Slam Dynamite live. Period. People thought they were going to get 1.4, 1.5 million viewers. Not only did it not go up, it went down. That sucks. That is disappointment. No way around it. Period. It's not devastation, but, you know, these excuse makers, they're the ones that hurt the product overall. Let me talk about Malakai Black in a little bit. Let me finish up the results from Raw, from SmackDown. Liv Morgan beating Lacey Evans. Oh, I got another funny clip to show you. Do I have it here? I don't know if I have it here. I really had to be careful about it. No, I don't. But it was I'll tell you about it. It was a funny segment that happened as well. I'm surprised WWE even replayed it without maybe editing a camera angle or something. First, Liv Morgan beating Lacey Evans. After the match was over, Liv Morgan snapped. Well, we're going to Extreme Rules. Extreme Rules, something goes in the air and people snap. So before the match ends, Lacey Evans brings a Singapore cane into the ring. And she sloppily swings and misses. Singapore cane flies out of her hand. So Liv Morgan hits a finisher, beats Lacey Evans clean, and the Singapore cane is laying inside the ring. So Liv Morgan picks it up. She's got this angered look on her face. She looks at Lacey Evans. She drops it down. And then you know what's going to happen. Ah, fuck it. She picks it up and she starts whacking the shit out of Lacey Evans. Lacey Evans rolls out of the ring. Liv Morgan goes under the ring, pulls out a table, puts Lacey Evans on the table. Liv Morgan climbs to the top of the ring post and dives back first onto Lacey Evans, puts it through the table. The camera work was beautiful. Liv Morgan's facial reactions are getting better, if you haven't noticed it. My only problem yesterday was the match itself. If you go back and you watch that match, you thought you were watching it in slow motion. Like it was on 0.75 speed. Yeah, that would be slower. Yeah, 0.75 speed. It seemed like everything was in slow motion. It just, the match did not click with me at all. And the aftermatch stuff looked great. But that's special circumstances. So Liv Morgan, you know, she defeats Lacey Evans. Match was not very good. Afterwards, though, she got all her support right back from the fans. The New Day over the Maximum Male Models, not much there. Braun Strowman beating Otis. I tell you, I hope they do a rematch. That match went a lot longer than I expected. I know Triple H likes to focus on having some longer matches. They protected Otis really well in this match. Otis did not get squashed in this match. In fact, Braun Strowman at some points looked vulnerable. If you thought that he was just, like, he is the monster amongst monsters. Not the monster amongst men. He's the monster amongst monsters. Otis is a monster also. They made sure to protect Otis as well. Even though Braun won the match, and he won with a power slam on Otis, it looked really good. Excellent match. I hope they do a rematch. I think they will. I don't think we would get anything in Extreme Rules, but we could get one on TV. I would do it. As I said earlier, Raquel Rodriguez over Dakota Kai. After the match, we get a beatdown. Shotzi goes and makes the save. Shotzi will be taking on, I believe, Bayley next week. The Usos retaining their championships against the Brawling Brutes. We did have some interference. Imperium showed up. It was an excellent match. Problem is, we knew what the outcome was. In my opinion, I'd rather see championship eliminator matches. And I know what you're going to say. Usos should not even lose non-title matches. I get it. But if this would have been a championship eliminator match, I think it would have given the idea to fans that the Brawling Brutes had a greater chance of winning. If it was non-title championship, not eliminator match, championship contenders match, championship eliminators, AEW, championship contenders match. If it would have been advertised, maybe it wouldn't have felt as important, but you ask me, would I have rather have felt that the match was important yesterday for the tag titles, or if the Brawling Brutes beat them, they get an opportunity in the future? I would rather have that. Even if they lost. Yeah, they lost, but Imperium got involved. Now, the cool thing is, in 2 weeks, we're getting Sheamus versus Gunther once again. Those two guys requested that. They like beating each other up. I think we like them beating each other up. So we're getting Gunther versus Sheamus, a rematch. Never say never about Sheamus possibly getting that title from Gunther, but Gunther is freaking awesome, man. So happy that people have gone past the Gunther Walter name. You know, you don't hear anybody complaining anymore. And that is awesome. That is a good thing. Now, Rampage yesterday. Yes, it was taped. Yes, I know most of you knew the results from the matches. As we said earlier, Sting and Darby Allin over the House of Black. Great Muda makes a cameo appearance. We hope that Julie Hart is okay. This is Sting after the match as well. And as you could see, you know, he was fine. All the reports late Wednesday night, because I believe that's when it was taped, he was okay. So good, you know, on that. But Julie Hart, you know, you take a dive like that, you know, it's always nervous. So we hope she's okay. She hopes she's okay. Hook in action, Bronson beating Matt Menard, Angelo Parker. Match was better than I think people expected. The outcome was obvious. I mean, I think almost all of these matches, the outcomes were obvious. Jungle Boy over Rey Fénix in an excellent match. After the match is over, Luchasaurus and Christian showed up. And, you know, where does this lead with Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy? I mean, obviously something's going to be happening in the near future. Eddie Kingston beating Sammy Guevara. You know, I know we predicted that, and a lot of you as well, but you never know with AEW when it comes to Eddie Kingston. But he got a win in New York, which was the right way to go. Jay Cargill pretty much squashing Diamante. Not much there. Hangman Page winning the Battle Royal, the Golden Ticket Battle Royal. So I think that's who we all expected on Wednesday talking about it. You know, just the shame, you know, Lance Archer. I mean, I know he's been doing what he's been doing in Japan, but, man, you look at the last couple of years, he's got to be one of the top disappointments in AEW overall. I mean, you get your moments, but if you look at the overall scope of things, disappointment. Not his fault. Ricky Starks wins the lights out match over Powerhouse Hobbs. And, you know, the only problem I have with that match, I mean, we all expected Ricky Starks to win that match, but where does the feud go from here? It feels like this feud might have been a little bit too rushed, but they're wasting a lot of people, not just Lance Archer. Now, I appreciate all the feedback that you gave with regards to Saraya Page signing with AEW. Right away, you had a lot of news sites jumping the gun, premature ejaculation, as far as what is the health status of Saraya Page. Now, I said it on Wednesday, and I say it here in a little bit more professional way. If I was AEW, Saraya, together, not Scissor, together, they should address her health situation ASAP. They need to clear that up right away. I would expect Saraya to appear on Dynamite this Wednesday. The first thing out of her mouth, she should clearly tell the fans if she is cleared to wrestle. Period. Now, as we said Wednesday, Taz talking about her being an important addition to the women's roster, there's no way to twist that. The way Taz said that, she's wrestling. So there's no tease as a commissioner. You know, some people were saying, oh, she didn't get physical Wednesday because she's not cleared to wrestle. The fuck does that mean? How many people showed up and made their cameo in Dynamite and all they did was hit the ring? Maybe AEW didn't want to reveal their hand. Maybe they wanted to appear that Paige was there for herself, and we don't know which side she's going to go, the dark side. Maybe she aligns with Britt Baker. I doubt it. She's a huge baby face. Listen to that pop. You don't turn her heel. But you hit the ring, you introduce yourself, you're wearing street clothes. Why the rush? Why? Seriously, people were overanalyzing what she was and what she was not doing Wednesday. She showed up. She appeared. Everybody left the ring. The focus, the lights are all on her. That's it. But AEW needs to address her health issue going forward, because that is the reason why Saraya has not wrestled, of her health issues, her neck issues. Now she shows up in a promotion. What is she going to do? Is she going to be a commissioner? Is she going to be a manager? Is she going to be wrestling? Now, for me, I believe she's been cleared. I believe she's been cleared. Don't get me wrong. Ric Flair was cleared to have one last match. WWE's doctors might be a little bit more stringent as far as who enters their ring. That's why you don't see Jerry Lawler really get physical anymore. Doesn't mean he can't. Doesn't mean fans wouldn't like it. But if WWE feels, you know, 9 out of 10 dentists say patients who chew gum. No. If 9 out of 10 doctors say, you know, it's a judgment call. Or better yet, let's be a little more fair. 5 out of 10 doctors say, it's a judgment call. 2 of those 10 doctors say, I don't think she should be in the ring. You got 2 other doctors who say, yeah, I think she's all right. And then 1 other doctor is like, oh, I have no fucking idea. You know, you look at those 10 doctors and you got 5 that are saying, it's up to you. And you got 2 that are saying, no fucking way. You got 2 others that are saying, I don't think so. And you got 1, you know, but in AEW or for Ric Flair, you get that one doctor, sign off on it. That's good. Good enough for me. So do I think, I'm being honest here, do I think that 9 out of 10 doctors said no about Paige's return and one doctor said yes and that was good enough for them? No. I believe that more doctors said that under some certain conditions. Look at Steve Austin. Steve Austin was forced to retire early because of injury. Look at Christian Cage. Look at Christian. He made his return for WWE, but WWE, not just creatively, but they also were a little concerned about him having the rigors of coming back. Look at Edge and his recovery. So this is why it is so important for AEW to get that shit out there now, because the haters, not everybody's a fan of AEW. Not everybody's a fan of Saraya. Not everybody, you know, not everybody even gives a shit about them, but we'll just stir it up anyway, just to stir it up. You want to clear that up immediately. She comes out there and says, I have been cleared. Not by some voodoo doctor out there. I've been cleared. I can return to the ring. That's it. That's it. Her style will be different. I'm sure, you know, her choice of matches will be very selective because, as you see, you know, some people, even though they know how to wrestle, they're not the, you know, most sharpest people in the ring. You move just the wrong way. You dive the wrong way. You cause whiplash the wrong way. I mean, freak shit happens. So they have to address this. I believe they will. And we should come to a conclusion with this with Saraya. Everybody out there that immediately said she's not cleared, she's cleared, she's this, she's that, they don't know. They don't know. Are they friends with her? Do they work with management? No. They're just assuming. They're assuming because WWE let her go, because she hasn't been physical, because they're just assuming. And that's careless. And that's disrespectful to Saraya. You know, one side of their mouth, they're excited that she's back. And another side of their mouth, they're trying to portray that, you know, she's not clear. They don't know. All right. Want to talk for a few moments about Malakai Black. Big deal. Big deal. Malakai Black recently was released from AEW. Conditional release. He requested his release. Now, as you already know, the reports coming out was that it was for mental health issues and a few other things. Well, Malakai Black issued a statement. And I want you to seriously think about this. When you think about the CM Punk situation, you think about some others within AEW. Because when you think back to Cody Rhodes, you look at CM Punk, you look at Malakai Black, you look at Miro, you look at Bryan Danielson, you look at a few others, and some others that don't get much of an opportunity in AEW, you do see a clash of culture. I'm not calling one side a snowflake and one side not. I'm not talking about passive-aggressive people out there in AEW that can't say shit publicly, but they'll leak it out to certain news sites. But what you are seeing in front of your very eyes, Serena Deeb, a few others that can't say it publicly, but you know, are very upset at some of the wrestlers in AEW who don't listen to the veterans, that don't take advice. You look at Hangman Page, you look at, there is a clash of culture going on. And the problem is that everybody thinks that Tony Khan is the one that was disrespected out of all of this. That motherfucker is the leader of it. You see how his personality changes depending on the weather. He is probably, like right smack in the middle of both sides. And one day he's more on this side, one day he is more on this side. He's trying to have the best of both worlds. What's happening is this clash of culture is happening amongst a lot of the men, amongst the women. You saw the bullshit that was floating around about Thunder Rosa. Which side do you think Thunder Rosa is more likely to be on as far as culture and attitude? The Young Bucks and Hangman Page? Or is it more of maybe CM Punk and Serena Deeb? You just start Eddie Kingston. Which side do you think Eddie Kingston is more on? You look at Sammy Guevara. Which side do you think he is more on? I said more on, not moron. Okay? More, M-O-R-E, on. I don't want anybody to say, he called him a moron. You have to think about this. Because AEW is filled with what I call the House of Leaks. These are coddled EVPs. The whole AEW foundation is built on this. And what did I tell you when the CM Punk stuff first came down from that media scrum? I said in a very short amount of time, you're going to see this concerted push online to get CM Punk out of that fucking company ASAP. Because CM Punk is the voice of the voiceless there that will not confront a lot of these people, because outside of AEW, who the hell's going to pay them four or five times the amount? The fucking guy from Wrestlicious? A lot of these people are forced to take this shit. You see how some people are being used and misused and everything, and they can't say a fucking word because where are they going to go? CM Punk is a threat to all of this coddled culture that is in that company. And it's hook, line, and sinker. You see what's going on in the net. You see Wade Keller. You see it. Oh, more than likely, L-Y word, CM Punk will likely never come back. He'll only have 3 months left in his contract. L-Y means you don't fucking know. But everybody jumps on it because who's better for AEW as a whole? The Elite or CM Punk? CM Punk is out for himself. CM Punk is a scumbag. CM Punk is selfish. CM Punk is a punk. Motherfucker, CM Punk has been CM Punk since 2005. CM Punk is not doing anything different. It's just that everybody thought CM Punk was going to be part of the culture in AEW, and everything was going to be fuck WWE and fuck this and fuck that. And CM Punk was basically like, fuck WWE, but fuck you too. They expected CM Punk to mold, to be part of that culture, and he's not. So Malachi Black wrote this statement. Listen to it closely. Firstly, thank you for all your messages. Know that they are being read and appreciated. With all the turmoil going on in the landscape of pro wrestling, I took the time to think of my words, but also needed to wait until conversations between mine and AEW's camp have come to a conclusion. It's over. Firstly, I dislike reading parts of my private conversations between myself and AEW in regards to my well-being on the internet. Let me read that sentence again. Firstly, I dislike reading parts of my private conversations between myself and AEW in regards to my mental health being on the internet. You think he was just talking to any Tom, Dick, or Harry in AEW? He was talking to AEW management. And that shit leaked on the internet. Think about that. When you think about, like I said, you're not stupid, people. A lot of these wrestling news sites and podcasts out there that claim we're not giving crumbs. We don't know that. Bullshit. Bullshit. All you have to do is go back and see who originally started posting that stuff about Malachi Black's mental health. That'll give you a really good idea as far as who is getting these crumbs. And then other people, to cover it up, they'll say, oh, so-and-so reported this. That's why, if you remember this stuff with Nick Houseman, you know, everybody thinks that Nick Houseman was a victim from CM Punk at the scrum. People forget the Ring of Honor media scrum when Nick Houseman says, oh, so-and-so reported that Colt Cabana may have been moved to... He used someone else to throw it in there as his own. That's what these people do. So how do you feel that executives, management, and AEW are being told this from Malachi Black about his mental health and it leaks out on the net? There's no defense for that. Let me continue. With all the turmoil, okay, we could go past that. These conversations were private and not meant to be shared with the public. As by now, most people realize I am a very private person and do not feel the need to have stuff like this out on the internet. If you've been following me longer than a cup of coffee, you're aware I've spoken about them prior, but would like to be the one deciding when this finds its way to the public and not through someone else's mouth. As with anything, through the lips of someone else, the story gets distorted. Secondly, to be in line with the above, they also need context. I did indeed ask for my release. The last 2 years of my life have lended to a lot of setbacks. Both me and my wife have been infected by uncontrollable actions from the outside that resulted in the loss of life. Medical setbacks, career jeopardizing, the suicide of a close friend, and a close family member almost losing their life. Then experiencing an injury that I was sure ended my career. I spent every week going through several sessions of rehab, dry needling, and therapy, just be able to walk and compete. Now this being the tip of the iceberg with the combination of the promises in pro wrestling, in the pro wrestling field, that were not upheld, which resulted in a combination of all of these to a complete demoralization of life and career. This decision has been in my mind for the past 6 months. Promises made, promises not kept. Pretty revealing. I conclude what he says here. It's hard to really put a finger on it and say this was the moment where it all went wrong. But I can tell you, after many years, I have learned from a rational point of view to see when I need to hit the brakes, which is what this is. Perhaps once my mind settles on certain things and processes the last 2 years a bit better, I will convey via a different platform when it's all written out what the exacts were that happened and have a more informed conversation about them. For now, know that I am good, and I'm taking, for the first time in 22 years, a few months to recalibrate the last 2 decades of my life. Lastly, I've read a few narratives online in regards to my release, my mental health, and my personal life that I could summarize swiftly. If it didn't come from me, it didn't happen. Stuff about conditional releases, stuff in my marriage, or using said mental health to leverage the other when I said before that wasn't even going to be part of the public conversations are false. My marriage is fine. I am fine. It's just time to make sure those things stay that way. Once again, I appreciate your support, and we will see each other soon enough. So, again, you could see this culture, this clash of culture happening. The way people do business, the way people go about business. I mean, the Thunder Rosa thing, luckily it was Brad Shepard, nothing personal against the guy, but luckily it was him that tried to take it to the next level because nobody likes him. So once people immediately cleared up that bullshit, that no, Thunder Rosa really is injured, you know, that got nipped right away. But you could see how quick, you know, in support of Britt Baker, in support of some of the other women in AEW, that they were quick to talk about how Thunder Rosa is hard to deal with this person, hard to deal with this person. There is a clash going on. What ends up being the resolution out of all of this? You know, I talked about this on Wednesday, and I talked about this 2 weeks ago as well. When we were talking about the tournament for the AEW World Title, my predictions came out correct up until the final match, Bryan Danielson versus Jon Moxley. And just to summarize that, and just to leave you with this as far as Tony Khan, this is not a shit on Tony Khan thing, but understand, you know, when you see a certain landscape, a certain culture that has been, you know, developed, fermented, and bottled, you know, if you open the bottle and you're the one that created the product, fermented it, put it all together, sealed it, you can't take a slug of it and say, the fuck is this? This is not what I bottled. So what you got to understand is, in the midst of CM Punk going after the media, which some reports coming out now is that Tony Khan knew that CM Punk was going to vent a little bit, but he had no idea that he was going to also go after the EVPs. But remember, this is common sense, but it's probably the most important thing I could say on this entire episode today. You know, when you hear about CM Punk going after the media, why is he going after the media? Because of the shit that they've been talking about. Where have they been getting it from? The coddled EVPs. So when CM Punk goes after the media, understand, if it wasn't the EVPs leaking out this shit, leaking out this stuff because they like Colt Cabana and they feel he's getting the shit out of the stick. And these media, because they just want to be part of a pro wrestling company in some way, shape, or form, hey, we're not going to pay you anything, but you know what? You'll get some legitimate stuff. Oh, yeah. Please, please, give me whatever. Like pigeons. Throw a little crumb. And watch how much. If you live near the beach, go out on the beach. Go like the end of the show of Three's Company. Throw a little breadcrumbs in the air, and you see how many fucking pigeons go down. Out of nowhere. You'll look in the sky. There's no birds. You throw a little crumb up in the air. Oh, CM Punk forced Colt Cabana into Ring of Honor. And also, you'll be showered by birds. That's what this is. It's an orgy out there. It's an orgy. It's like walking into a strip place and there's 500 guys. And then somebody throws a tiny little crumb. You know, one little girl, you know, about to strip, and everybody flocks. So I thought Bryan Danielson is the perfect Band-Aid for the situation going on. How do you calm down the culture? How do you calm down all this controversy? How do you calm down? You know, Eric Bischoff had a book, Controversy Creates Cash. If you think that Tony Khan is ripping his hair out right now because of all the shit going on, Tony Khan is probably sitting back and loving all this attention. The ratings have gone up in the last couple of weeks. You think he looks in the mirror and says, I don't need no EVPs. I don't need this. He just sees all the buzz focused around him. He just wants attention. He just wants numbers. When he was finally confronted about the amount of time Thunder Rosa was given in her speech when she got injured and CM Punk's, it's all about ratings. It's all about attention. It's all about numbers. Bryan Danielson is like the soothing. He's the soothing part of AEW, is the most beloved, the most liked, committed, a professional inside and outside in the ring. No controversy, no hatred. He would have been the perfect person to put that title on to ease things down. You go off the air uber positive. That is not what Tony Khan wants. Tony Khan does not want streamers coming down from the sky celebrating Bryan Danielson and this feel-good, positive, yes, everything is good in the AEW world. No, he wants something like Jon Moxley. And I'm not criticizing Moxley. He's the MVP of 2022. He wants someone like Jon Moxley that when there's a problem, it's like, fuck you. Fuck that shit. Fuck you. Tony Khan is a reflection of that. So when you see what's going on, when you see the, instead of calming things down, MJF is going to be there for a while. What is the absolute, why couldn't MJF and John Moxley have a feud without the title being on the line? Why does, you see where I'm going with this? So when you see all this shit going on, understand that it's almost like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. It always goes back to Tony Khan. You see the stupid news reports. You see the stuff leaked out about Malachi Black. You see everything is. It goes from here, the news places, to the ease, to this, and it always goes back to Tony Khan. So this should not be surprising to anybody out there. But to me, putting the title, that's why if you look on the thumbnail for this week's episode, I have Cody like blurred in the background. I'm starting to think Bryan Danielson may never become AEW world champion. I still don't understand to this day why Cody Rhodes put himself in a situation that he could never fight for the AEW world title. All right. It's a brand new company. He's one of the most important people there. You look at him with the TNT title. Go back and look at those moments. He's looking at the TNT title going, he's crying with, because he's representing a television network. Of course, it's AEW. But that was about the network more than anything else. Why, if you're trying to build a, he was in main events. Why would you not leave it out there or even tease it as a possibility? Why would you do an AEW championship, you know, it's almost like career-ending storyline when the company first starts. It still doesn't make sense to this day. Now I'm starting to think some people that were signed, for some weird reason, either don't want to become AEW world champion, or maybe Tony Khan doesn't want. You see a little something that I've noticed. They don't like to, you know, like bring up WWE histories, if you notice. They like to criticize, but you notice when they were hyping up Moxley versus Danielson, they had 3-time world champion versus 8-time world champion. Now, if you look back up until maybe a few months ago, you didn't really see AEW doing that all that much. Now they're bringing in stats from outside promotions. And yes, I know Ring of Honor is part of it, but not as big of a part than you think. And they could simply write, you know, former Ring of Honor heavyweight champion. That was done by design because, oh, Bryan Danielson's an 8-time world champion. Moxley's only a 3-time champion. You know, doesn't need, you know, he doesn't need another run as quickly as this guy. And I think that speaks volumes. Because when you don't mention either one of their world championship history, you can, I mean, you may have to bring up AEWs, but if you don't bring up anything on the outside, it looks more even. If you just have John Moxley versus Bryan Danielson, AEW world title match, you know, if you want to do a side-by-side height, weight, accolades, that's fine. But when you have it right center on your banner, you know, you're kind of distancing and not making it as even. And I think that's done by design. I don't think Miro will ever be AEW world champion. Malachi Black, if you go back and you listen to that statement again, there were promises made to him that were not kept. I don't know what those promises were. I'm not going to assume them. You know, but there are some people out there that you just look at them and you say, you know, like, do you think Adam Cole is ever going to be AEW world champion? Does it feel, it's either a Tony Khan never putting the world title on that person under no circumstances. Now, I don't think he would say that publicly or the people within management, but there are some people there that absolutely would not do something. And you would think out of all the people, Adam Cole may be the best shot out of all of them. Now, speaking of world titles and AEW and debuts, another guy that you know would have never been a champion in AEW, and that is Bobby Fish. Bobby Fish appeared yesterday at the Impact Wrestling's Victory Road pay-per-view. He says he is not under contract with Impact. That's why he can't be fired, and he's not there for the bullshit. So if you look at him, you know, the handlebar mustache is not there, and he looks a little bit more clean-cut. And the reason that I think is possible is, this is what he looked like a very short time ago. We talk of maybe a week before this. You know, you shave a little bit, you use a little hair dye, and so I think Bobby Fish expected himself to be out of pro wrestling for a little bit longer. Maybe he just wanted to change up his look a little bit, but Bobby Fish is now in Impact Wrestling. Now, the ratings, for some reason, were not revealed for Impact this week. Last week, they did 67,000 viewers. The week before, they only did 60,000 viewers. That's how far Impact Wrestling has become. I'm going to read you Victory Road's results from yesterday, because I know a lot of you do not pay attention to Impact, but when I read you these results, you understand that a lot of these names that some people perceive to be these major ratings grabbers, they're not. And it's also concerning because you ask yourself, what could possibly get Impact Wrestling back to like 200,000 viewers? And even 200,000 should be a horrible number. This is, and I want to read you this card because this card is a pretty damn good card. Yeah, the three-way barbed wire massacre with Steve Maclin beating Sami Callihan and Moose. We had Jordan Grace beating Max the Impaler. Honor No More of Eddie Edwards, Matt Taven, and Mike Bennett over Josh Alexander, Heath Slater, Heath Mitchell, whatever, and Rich Swann. Mickey James over Giselle Shaw. And remember, that's a career-threatening match. They're doing the Ric Flair storyline. She loses a match, she must retire from wrestling, period, in-ring competition. Motor City Machine Guns over PCO and Vincent. We had Mike Bailey over Delirious to retain the X Division Championship. We had Tasha Steeles over Killer Kelly. And my phone is going off. Hang on a second. Can I call you right back? Okay, let me call you back. My mom's probably wondering how am I feeling. So, and we had the Bullet Club. Ace Austin, Chris Bay, and Juice Robinson defeating Jack Price, Jason Hotch, and Jackson Stone. It's not a bad card. And you think about how shitty the viewership that they get. The Good Brothers may be sticking around as well. Now, apparently Juice Robinson may be wrestling on Dynamite against John Moxley, championship eliminator match. Once again, Juice Robinson, look, awesome wrestler. What he's done in New Japan has been outstanding. But again, you know, how much is that could actually draw a number? You see them on Dynamite. You see some people show up, Jay White and others, and then they're on, you know, Impact. The Briscoes were on Impact. Jay White was on Impact. Juice WRLD. And they can't bang a number, even if they tried. And you look at New Japan's numbers on Access TV. It's horrendous. So, all right. With that said, one last thing for tonight. Impact also announced that Raven will be going into their Hall of Fame. Personally, I think they need to add a few more people. I don't know how many years Impact Wrestling has left, you know, in existence as it is. And I'm not wishing their demise. I'm just, you know, very concerned. There's not that many people in their Hall of Fame. They got three Team 3D, Sting, Kurt Angle, Jeff Jarrett, Abyss, Shamrock, Awesome Kong, a few others. But they announced that Raven will be going into the Hall of Fame. I almost feel like the reason why he's going in is because, you know, he's willing to appear. But, all right. With that said, I think we're going to jet out of here. Looking at my sheet, I think we talked about everything. Now, don't forget, tomorrow I will be here for the sit-down featuring yours truly. If you would like to join me tomorrow night at 8:05 p.m., I wonder what that QR code is for. Could that be for something with Bray Wyatt that has not been released online? I don't know. I wonder what that QR code is for. If you want to join me tomorrow night, Sunday night, 8:05 p.m., when I show up tomorrow, I will have a blank piece of paper. You will fill that paper for me. Anything you want to get into, questions, comments, topics, could be wrestling, non-wrestling related. We have not done a sit-down episode in a month. It's been that long. So I tell you, what a crazy month it's been. If you really think about it, I mean, even personally for yours truly, a month ago, I was on the verge of being married, and here we are 3 weeks later, and married, honeymoon, COVID, and yeah, kind of crazy how way everything has been. So, yeah, so, and I'm like away from her since Monday. So she got sick, she got tested positive. I don't know, kind of sucks, but it's all right. It's all right. We're good. I don't feel like, you know, I'm in any serious condition, just annoying more than anything else. But, and I'm bird sitting. I tell you, the funny thing is, you know, some of you in a watch party, you saw I brought the bird in the room the other day. I'm very concerned. Like, I don't want to be around the bird with COVID. So I put a mask on. And obviously this bird is not used to seeing someone wearing masks. So I walked into the room on Wednesday with the mask on. And I guess he wasn't paying attention. And when he turned around and looked at me, he went like this. It was pretty funny. I should have got it on video. But, yeah, I'm going to just be resting, drinking my Theraflu, and sticking this out. I'll test myself later on. Maybe, hopefully, we have some good news by tomorrow night. The ship will be out of here. And, you know, look, you know, I got away with it for 3 years. Disney fucked me up. And for any of you out there that never got it, you know, if you're vaccinated, I will tell you the vaccination helps. You know, it doesn't prevent COVID, but at least it tells your body what to do if it enters your system. And I definitely feel that the shots that I got prepared my body to be able to fight this. It's like a flu shot. A flu shot doesn't prevent the flu, but, you know, if you do get the flu, it knows how to fight it better. So I definitely... You know, I'm not one of those like, oh, I got all these fucking shots and I still got COVID. I was hoping to never get it. But you know what? If I got it as a result of going on my honeymoon, you know, I'll take it. So, all right, everybody. If you enjoyed tonight's show, I would very much appreciate if you take a moment and smash that thumbs up button. If you know anyone else out there that you think would like the channel, let them know about it. Any questions or comments that you may have as a result from today's episode, post it in the comment section. Next Thursday, we'll be doing the mailbag, so you still have an opportunity. There's a thread up in the community section, or you could email me, dontony@dontony.com. And, you know, we have a nice, fun week coming up. I know Monday for Raw, did I take the matches down? Monday for Raw, oh, I didn't take them down, but, oh, I did take them down. We have... Johnny Gargano and Kevin Owens going up against Alpha Academy, which you know is going to be a fun match there. We have Bianca Belair facing Io Sky. I expect a clusterfuck, maybe disqualification finish there. Matt Riddle versus Damian Priest. And, yeah, hopefully everybody's eyes will remain intact. We have Rey Mysterio taking on Seth Rollins. Those are the four matches announced. Plus, we will also have another Bray Wyatt teaser. And listen, again, in closing about this Bray Wyatt stuff, you know, just we're excited. We're excited. He's coming back. We don't know what variation. It's definitely not going to be a monster. But the point is, let's not overthink it. You know, the Edge vignettes, when you go back and you watch them, it was clear from the first one that it was Edge. This was a little different. Once they started with the Come With Me reference and talking about killing his father, that's all vintage Bray Wyatt. That's the origin of his character. So, you know, when you go back and you look at the Edge vignettes and you realize it was Edge. You know, how many people were telling you it was Bray Wyatt? Oh, it was going to be a faction. You know, don't overthink it. This is Bray Wyatt returning. Could Alexa Bliss get incorporated in this? Don't know. Will we see a segment with Alexa Bliss in the back and maybe there's a QR code near her? I don't know. But it's Bray Wyatt. Then, and again, if this was Vince McMahon under the helm, you always keep a little doubt, a little concern. But now this is Triple H under the helm, and this is going to be something really, really positive to remember. This is not a troll job. You could feel a troll job. This is not a troll job. So just keep it simple. It's Bray Wyatt. Let's see what the next piece of the puzzle is. And you know what's the fun thing about it, too? Since you do know now that it's Bray Wyatt, now when the next puzzle comes out, we know, okay, how does this fit in with Bray Wyatt? You know, it's gonna be cool because you're going to see some references to, you know, his previous members. Obviously, Brody Lee is no longer with us, but definitely expect, you know, some tribute there as well. So it's going to be a fun ride. But sit back and relax. When we talk about Saudi Arabia on Monday, there's a little bit of sausage involved. And yeah, Bray Wyatt is a part of that sausage. Plus Sasha, plus Goldberg. I'll talk about it on Monday.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster.
I forgot to answer Super Chats. All right. Sorry, everybody. I forgot to answer a couple of Super Chats. Let's do them. Crazy Cruiserweight. Why would Saraya go to AEW before she's 30 years old? Millions! She's making $1 million plus. She's getting a crazy hefty payday. My advice to everyone out there, and I will put a note in the comment section that we did answer some questions afterwards so people know that the show didn't officially end. I just realized that, you know, mine's a little fucked up today. You know, Jim Cornette and Brian Last are doing a really good job right now talking about what the AEW contracts are and what they're not. And when you realize, and you know what, Conan, Disco Inferno, they also got into it as well. Very good conversation about the contracts. When you look at the contracts and how that they're drafted up, you know, when Tony Khan took a shot at the WWE contracts about a year ago, you know, AEW's contracts are only a couple of sheets of paper. There's a reason why WWE's are 20, 30, 40 pages. There's intellectual property. There is, they address injury. They address this. They address that. One of the attractive reasons people go to AEW is because it's very simplified. It's very cut and dry. Oh, as long as it doesn't interfere with our schedule, you could do this, you could do this, you could do that, you could do it, everything. Plus, Paige gets to keep her Twitch account where she's got to make, you know, close to $1 million there, hundreds of thousands. So, yeah, that's why you go. You know, life doesn't end at 30. And one day, you know, we all turn 30. And you don't want to be able, you know, to be in a situation where you can't get opportunity simply because you turn a certain age. So, yeah, she's getting paid. And it's going to be interesting to see how many times she wrestles. Cruiserweight also, yes, thank you again for clearing it up for me. Eli Cottonwood, Jackson Andrews. Wait, Jackson Andrews was the bodyguard for who? Was it Dolph Ziggler? Was it Baron Corbin? Who was Jackson Andrews? Before we go off there, because it's going to drive me crazy. Who was Jackson Andrews lined up with early on? I'm thinking of somebody short. Was it Dolph Ziggler? Who was it with Jackson Andrews? Someone in the chat room knows. Remember he showed up on TV and he was somebody's bodyguard and then he disappeared because all that shit came out about him? Who was Jackson Andrews the bodyguard for? Someone in the chat room could post that. That would be great. So I know some people left early thinking the show was over. It's my fault. I'll clear that up. Somebody will answer it, but we'll get back to that. Chris Kutcher, about the Malachi situation. Should news sites really be reporting on a person's mental health? No, they shouldn't. They shouldn't. He knows most sites have no standards, but sensitive time. Nobody gives a fuck. Think back to the Keith Lee situation. When everybody got it wrong, and then the truth came out, and people were like, oh, fuck. Tyson Kidd, was that it? Thank you, Rocky Red. Tyson Kidd. Wow. Tyson Kidd, Jackson Andrews? Why does that just, like, not sound right? I'd believe you, but wow. Look, when the news came out about Keith Lee fighting for his life, I will never forget it. I will remember a lot of those news people on social media like, holy shit, nobody had any idea, which is not true, but they didn't. They claimed they didn't. So Mia Yim, she wrote on social media, okay, you all know now, in the future, can we be a little bit better? Didn't happen. If you remember the Hana Kimura situation, and yes, I kind of forced it down everybody's throat, but you all realize it now. You know, there's a formula. There's a formula. Tragedy happens. We need to be better to each other. We need to be, you know, we're at the end of the day, we're all wrestling fans and we should be happy for each other. And you don't have to like what I like. You know, we all need to be better people. And that lasts for a little while. Then it gets around here, and then you'll see a couple of snide jokes. You know, not really like nasty, but little tongue-in-cheek jokes, you know, just to like be a little bit sarcastic. Oh, ha-ha, I'm throwing a funny. And then it gets to a point where you're right back to where you were before. Writing anything, no standards, no morals. You know, just if you want to write something, and you don't want to, like, get yourself in trouble, you'll say that so-and-so reportedly said this. And then when 15 sites write the same thing, then you'll write, oh, multiple sources confirmed. Multiple sources confirmed. And then we're right back. And then next tragedy happens. Oh, we need to be better. We need to be better. Snide jokes. Ha, ha, ha. Asshole, asshole, asshole. Writing anything. We don't give a fuck what it, if it's true or not. Tragedy happened. That is the cycle. Because they survive on your viewership and hits and downloads, and that's patrons, and that's what it's all about. No one out there is, you know, there are a few. There are a few people out there that are straight up and they stay away from it. And you know what? You know, kudos to all of them. Because there's a lot of people out there that just want to put out the facts. And they do get overshadowed sometimes because, look, facts are not always sexy. So, yeah, they should not be doing it, but they do. Ah, thank you very much, Nir. Thank you. Happy New Year to you. Much love. And I thank you all. I am sorry for posting this late, but it's all right. We're good. So join me tomorrow night, 8:05 p.m. if you're around. And yeah, that's it. I'm out of here. Be well, everybody.
Haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today, everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.